This is the Ninja Rob Podcast with Marco Perazzo and Tim Carpenter. The podcast for the true martial artist.
And we are, and I wasn't even ready, bro. And we are back. Welcome to the Ninja Rob Podcast. Not even gonna let you get anything in there. And we can't talk about what just happened this last hour.
Why can't we talk about
it? We can't. We're not allowed to talk about
it. I was just joshing.
You were just joshing?
Joshing with his buddy.
Dude.
I like it when I'm trying to be a dick. I'm like, what's up, buddy? I don't really like
it. Oh, you do?
To some people.
White boy voice, huh?
Yeah, to like my, to my.
Not when you're just being a dick?
No, when I'm trying to be. This is the Ninja Rob Podcast. Best podcast ever. We know you missed us. And hey, sometimes, you know,
we're
we're on our fall break. That's exactly what it is. And you got to make them miss you sometimes. It is what it is. Live from the Fortress of Grappletude, we got our your man is looking super thick right now. Your man Bosco was in the building.
THICC.
Okay, you know what I mean? Extra. That's with the extra. Yo, I have a qualm about that, but we're not going to get to him. Qualm.
About what?
About like who's using thick right now? There's some.
Who's using thick?
Yeah, who's some. What, has it been appropriated?
No, it's been used. Yeah, it's been used by some.
Who's appropriating it?
It's been used by some people that are not really thick, they're just round. Yeah.
You know fat chick saying
they're
thick.
Overweight. Oh, I'm thick, but she's just she built like a garbage bag.
Thick is
like a 40-pound bag of laundry.
Thick means voluptuous
to a degree. Right?
Curvy.
There's a reason.
Like
curvy. Yeah.
Would Jessica Rabbit be thick?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because you basically need to have a small waist,
maybe four,
and nice big hips, not just
The waist is proportional to the ass and breasts,
but it still has to be smaller.
No, but this is
not small.
So the hips bigger than the ass, you would consider that?
Does that happen?
Thick?
That's odd.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm saying it's proportional.
I'm just saying it has to be smaller than the ass.
Yeah, but you said small. Look, we're already back, man.
Back to arguing. We know you missed us, and it's okay. Let's go. Let's get right into it. UFC last night. Wait a minute. First of all, it's been a while.
It has.
Let's check in. Marco, what's going on?
I don't remember.
Yo, it's been that long.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's 40 things I want to talk about.
Last time we did this was before I went to Hungary.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
You also.
So we haven't done it since the last week. It was before October.
How was the trip to Hungary?
Yes.
I can't remember.
It's been so long ago. Yo, Michelin star restaurant?
Went to a Michelin.
How was that?
I do remember that.
Michelin?
I brought you a present.
Where is it?
I brought him some presents, too.
I got him
some of the same ones.
Oh, really? The
kid. Yeah. I know how much he likes them.
You don't want the candies?
You got me Negroes?
Negroes candy.
I got you a couple bags full of Negroes.
That's it, man. Negroes, to preface that, Negroes is a candy that's very popular in Hungary, correct?
These are the good ones.
Yeah, and they could be, and I don't know
what color
the,
are these?
How do the Hungarians pronounce it? Do they go Negros or is it?
They definitely don't say Negros.
Do they say Negroes?
It's probably even more pronounced, like Negro, like that.
Negroes? Okay. Maybe it is. But
so how was the Michelin star restaurant?
Yes.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Because you gave me something at the Banya. What did you give me?
I just gave you gummy worms.
Yes, yeah. They were fantastic. Right. Thank you.
Woomies. But he gave me they're called like Woomies or something.
Yeah, you gave me tons of shit.
Yeah.
Goose liver, pate, and it's pork golden rinds. Can, pork rinds. I opened one bag. It's delicious.
So the Michelin star restaurant, what was that experience like?
It was great. It was like the service, the food was good. It was like little bites of food, like little, you know, a bunch of little entrees. And then... But the services were crazy. They came out. They described everything to you. Every dish they gave you, they would describe like where it came from and what was in it and what it was doing.
Did you do the wine pairing?
With the wine pairing.
Nice.
They did the same thing with the wines.
That's
the shit.
I did that at the Four Seasons one time. Let me pick that up.
Because
I'm dropping stuff here, dropping names.
For a
yeah, Marinade.
What was that again? Say that
the
again.
The Four Seasons. Oh. You might have heard of it.
That's when you're when your wife used to work there and get you free stuff.
Every time my wife threatened to quit at the Four Seasons, no, you know we need both of these incomes.
Let's think this through.
Yeah,
what it was
because the vacations were
and
amazing.
The bathrobes. Those robes. You got one at the crib.
Yeah,
got one right.
Yeah, yeah,
nice.
Yeah, but what cuisine were they making? Was it Italian, French?
Hungarian and Portuguese.
Interesting.
So they had a Portuguese menu, a Hungarian menu, and a mixed
Hunger
menu.
Cheese.
Nice.
Yeah, so fire. I got the. I think I got the mixed menu.
Everybody knows Hungarian.
Everybody sure. else got the Hungarian.
But who all went?
It was me, my lovely wife.
I'll second that. She is lovely.
Her shout sister, out to the wife, man. Her sister, and her Chi-Chi? Sister's Chi-Chi and her sister and Chi-Chi.
Does
husband.
The new husband have a nickname?
Pete.
That's it.
That's a name. Yeah.
All right. All right, his name is Pete.
Also his nickname.
Okay. Yeah. That's why you were in Hungary, right?
Yep.
Did you train in Hungary at all?
I trained once.
Okay, let's bring it back to martial arts.
I did I did a class. It's the first time in like maybe 20
you,
years
wait,
that I
wait,
did.
Wait, you took a whole, like a regular class?
Not I've taken classes, but I'm saying this was a class where like I got there, I did the warm up.
Really?
I fucking jogged around. And
in circles and
did
shit?
Did break falls and shit, forward rolls?
So that was the thing. I got so fucking dizzy from doing like three sets of break falls and like rolling forward and rolling back. I stood up.
So it was a jiu-jitsu class.
Yeah. It was like I was drunk. Like I was like almost fucking
you
fell
shout
off
the school?
Mat. I forget. Fight Club. It was called Fight Club.
Nice.
It was like an MMA school. The guy from Bellator, Adam Boric, was there training. He's a pretty high level guy in Bellator. And then, but it was a small class. Everybody there except for my partner was, and the instructor was, from somewhere else. Like one guy was from Morocco, one guy was from France. There was a guy from Slovenia. And my partner was this fucking giant Hungarian guy.
How was the class?
It was cool. They showed a takedown, and I think we did all takedowns. I don't think we did anything on the ground. It was like a takedown and then solidifying things on the ground.
Did they know? Did you notify them before you?
Yeah, I emailed them and told them I was
on the way there. Yeah. Is that protocol? Let's talk about that real quick. About when you're out of town, going to go train somewhere else, and how you take
your
students.
I emailed them. I said, I'm a black belt, and Chi-Chi and her husband went. I was like, I'm coming with two people. One is a purple belt, one is a blue belt. We just want to get a workout in while we're here. And he was like, come in.
Right, so and you've in. Done this before.
So this guy is a black belt under the other place I would go to.
Because the other place was ZR team, right?
ZR team, yeah. So this guy's a black belt from there. He's seemed like a good instructor. Good.
What are some of the other
I didn't places? Get to roll with them though.
Oh, okay. What are some of the other places you've trained that are out of town? Like legitimately out of town.
Like in out of your, other countries?
Maybe other
I think
countries.
Just
or maybe
ZR team
state.
Was the only place I've been
okay.
where I trained out of country.
Because you didn't train while we were in Europe. While we were in
no,
Europe.
No. No. Everything was closed while we were there.
Was it?
In France they said we don't really train during the summer.
Yeah.
They said a lot of places like don't really maybe they're just
were they practicing surrendering?
I don't know if you saw the fight last night, but this French guy, Saint-Denis.
Bro, can we go into that when we do the UFC portion?
Well, it leads into what he just said.
It's called the segue.
Yeah, that was perfect. Because the training story from Hungary is kind of over, except for the break falls was the most interesting.
How many rolls did you get in Hungary? Like live?
Rounds?
Yeah, rounds of rolls. Not forward rolls.
Six or seven.
And anybody any good?
No.
Okay.
The one guy that I was rolling with a lot, because he was like a big... Like he moved well, but
thick?
He was just he
no, I'm sorry.
He was thick, yeah.
Waist proportionate to his ass.
His waist might have been. He was very thick. His waist might have been thicker than his ass.
Oh, gotcha.
He was probably like 270
okay.
and like a little bit taller than me. But he kept asking me to roll because they said after he rolled, he like went over to his instructor. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but Chi-Chi translated. She's like, he's like, did I look like shit? Because I was like, you know, throwing him around. But his instructor was like, no, it's just you've never rolled with somebody like as big as you before. Like,
right.
Because all the guys
and yes, you look like shit. Yeah,
yeah. But
was he also a black belt?
No, I don't even know what belt. He might have been a blue belt.
Okay.
I wonder if this will show up on Reddit at some point.
Ooh,
American yeah. guy comes to Hungary.
No, he was fun, but he kept asking me to roll. And I was like, and he was just fucking so strong. It was a workout.
You weren't really there for that kind of role. Is that what you're
saying? No, it wasn't like a death roll. He was just
okay.
a lot of weight to move around. And he had great. He was in good shape.
That makes me miss my ex girlfriends. Go ahead.
But that was it. But the French thing about them surrendering.
Yeah, let's go about the. So last night.
So that's like an ongoing thing between like the U.S. and France. Like we saved your ass in fucking World War II.
Yeah, when I said he was toeing the line.
So the guy that won last night, he's like, I want to thank you Americans for saving us in 1945.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. He was a former special forces guy from France fighting a.
French Foreign Legion?
I don't know. Isn't that where the criminals go?
They get a new. You get a new identity once you're done.
I think he might have said something
else.
But he was fighting like a Navy SEAL from the U.S. and
so he was giving them a little. He wasn't really thanking them.
They like saluted each other.
No, look at that, man. Maybe it was. Like Mark automatically goes with some backhanded compliment. Yeah, like, you're like, nah,
yeah, I like the compliment.
He was legit. He was like, thank you.
Thank you,
yeah, thank you for saving us in 1945.
Nice. Yeah. That was a long time ago for him. Okay. Got it.
Means a lot to them.
78 years later.
As it should.
We finally get our thank you.
Yeah. Yo, how appropriate in the Octagon.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's Veterans Day? Was Veterans Day?
Was. Yeah, yeah.
Yo, today is the anniversary of the first UFC.
UFC. Nice.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Let's jump. Want to jump into that, Mark? You want to fill the people in and, you know, check in? Tell them
what have you been up to?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nah, come on, son.
Absolutely zero.
He was at the Eagles complex.
Oh, yeah,
Your man's. So, obviously, you guys know how much I love you guys. But, so I had a great dad. I mean, you know, I'm going to hold it together. I had a great dad. And when I watch fucking dads doing their thing, son, I'm like, every time I see you with the baby, son, you see me smile. When I see you, la nana, you know what I'm saying? The baby girl and stuff like that. So he's at this, my man's at the Eagles complex.
Yeah.
Running drills and shit.
Yeah, it was fun.
With your little man.
Yeah, the Eagles had a thing, you know, where they let kids come in and do like football drills. Okay. And it was very well organized. There was like 10 or 12 different stations. They had a game that day, so none of the players or like Eagle staff was there. But they had a bunch of high school coaches that were running the drills. And each station was about 8 minutes long, and they were really good. All right, 1 minute left until we change stations. And each, you know, it was like a group of 8 to 10 kids. And then at the end, they huddled up and they gave the kids like a little thank you bag, and you were on your way.
And also, Marco went to the orchestra. Let's talk about some of the music stuff you went to.
Yeah, I forgot. You know what? Thank you. Into the Spider-Verse.
Nice.
At the Academy of Music with a full orchestra.
Yo, the Academy of Music's not that thing with the steps up to it. No, right?
That's something. It does have steps up to it, but okay. It's
no,
the
I
one,
know what the Academy of Music
the one that has the lights that are gas,
yes,
gas, all
right,
gas lit light.
Great. And the uncomfortable seats. Yes, that's it.
Yeah. So they had the movie playing in the background, a DJ, and an orchestra playing the music, the score, and all the music to the show. Yeah. It was fantastic. The only thing that was a bit nerve-wracking for me was it was Game 7 of the Phillies, and it's right on Broad Street. Mm-hmm. Like, if the Phillies win, and this timing is terrible, I'm here with a 10-year-old trying to navigate back to South Philly, but unfortunately...
Luckily, the Phillies lost.
For you.
Unfortunately, the Phillies lost.
It's interesting you said that. A friend of mine had reservations somewhere, and they canceled them because they thought that could happen.
Yeah.
So, but it was a great time by
fantastic.
By all.
I had a lot of fun. It was nice exposing my daughter to that live music to that level. And the nice thing, the orchestra was all female. The DJ was a male. So it was an all-female orchestra and mainly, like, I think 75-80% women of color, which was good for my daughter because my daughter's biracial, so it's good for her to see, people that look like her doing different things.
Yeah. And why didn't your
half
wife
like her?
Half like, or whatever.
Whatever. What, your wife was going to go originally?
No. I think we had, I don't recall having been to the orchestra.
Yeah, this is what I'm trying to get.
And my wife, she played violin. She went to a performing arts high school.
Oh,
and she's been,
you hear that? Yeah. Your man over here snatched up a violin playing negress. Look at your man right here, son. Come on, son.
So she was like, you know what? You should go since you don't have that much. I think I'd been once, but I didn't really remember. Right. I can't remember it. Yeah. And it was a really good
time.
So
she suggested it.
She suggested
it. Shout out. Shout out to the people, yes. To the fam, son.
She's fantastic.
You know what I mean? I like that. That's a great thing. So let's jump into the UFC. Like you said, it's the anniversary of UFC 1.
Yeah, today actually, so this episode will hopefully come out November 14th if I put it out in time. Today is November 12th. We're recording it on a Sunday, and it is the anniversary of the first UFC.
Yeah.
I believe 30 years, or I forget, 30 or 30, 31.
But before we go into the fight from last night, let's go into the dinner. So they put up on YouTube the Legends of UFC 1 Fighters Roundtable. Did you see it, Timmy?
No.
Marco and I both saw it. Yeah. Marco, give us some commentary on it. What do you think?
So
let the people know.
The UFC,
is it worth the watch?
100%.
Well, I agree.
If you're a true fan of the UFC, you'll watch it. If you're like a fly-by-night guy that only cares about current fighters, then...
No, I'm saying like the guy, people that watch the UFC now, a lot of them don't even know about like the
they
first
don't.
UFC.
Yeah, they don't.
You know? So it's for the real... you know, old school guy.
Yeah, yeah. For some of us.
Yeah, because we, you know, like we saw it. Yeah. We saw it start, and it's an interesting thing for the young guys, because you know all the new guys in this sport and in this community.
A debt of gratitude to all these dudes.
but they're also important. So you guys, if you get a chance, listen. It's not the same as a new one. The production value, everything's different. It's like watching
not even the same
a VH Sense. No, it's not the
sport. It's a different sport.
But it's an interesting thing even say it's to a
sport.
Take a look at.
No.
It wasn't a
sport.
So
if you guys in the Ninja Nation, I'm sure there's a bunch of old cats out there.
A couple of you.
You know what I mean? But the young guys, if you've never seen it, give it a watch. You know, give it its critiques and stuff like that. Give it some grace because, you know, it's a totally different thing. But at the same time,
so you're referencing watching the first UFC,
the first
right?
One, yeah. Yeah.
So this dinner was interesting because the original UFC was an 8-man tournament. And since then, two of the original fighters have passed away, Pat Smith and Kevin Rozier. So the 6 fighters that were left, what's his name?
Talia Tooley,
who was a sumo fighter. Zane Frazier, right?
Yeah.
Or was it Zane Frazier or was it
Zane Frazier fought Rozier first round?
Yeah, Frazier, Gerard Gourdeau, Hoyce Gracie,
Ken Shamrock,
and Art Jimmerson, right? Did I miss anybody?
No, Jimmerson. Yes, Jimmerson.
Yeah, Jimmerson was there.
Yeah, Art Jimmerson was Hoyce's first fight.
And yeah, mm-hmm. Pat Smith was Shamrock's.
So those guys were sitting around a table all in their like mid-50s talking about what it was like to fight in the first UFC, their thought processes, seeing these guys that you can relate to, or at least I can because I'm closer to their age, you know, and just watching them talk about back then and who they were and why they did it and if they would do it again and them complimenting each other. It's interesting to see people that my original introduction to them was they looked like they hated each other. And now they're sitting around eating dinner, talking about the good old days and giving you some backstory to what it was like to get into the first UFC, why they did it, and if they would do it again. I would highly recommend watching.
Yeah, it's a good one. And again, they'll show some clips of the fights and stuff like that. And I like some of the stories Hoyce told. But take your time, watch some of the original UFCs. It's a much different sport.
Jimmerson's there.
Yeah.
Okay.
He talks about it like he didn't know what.
He had no idea what he was doing.
Zane Frazier claimed that he thought they were 5-minute rounds.
Yes, they were saying that too.
They told him.
And then
that.
Who was the one?
They
that
might
said,
have.
Yeah, they probably told him whatever they could to fight. And which one was it? Said his lung capacity was it?
Zane Frazier.
Yeah, he said he had walking pneumonia.
Walking
before
pneumonia,
that.
30% yeah. lung capacity.
But I like how the Hawaiian guy was like, I just wanted to be the. I was the toughest guy in the world. I wanted to be the toughest guy in the world. And then he said something about Mike Tyson said yes, but he was unavailable for it. You know,
that
some stories.
Like nonsense, especially at a $50,000.
But at that particular time, why would you take that? You know what I mean?
Well, right. If you're Mike Tyson making six, you know, even if they're stealing 30 million of your 60 million, you're still walking away with more money.
Nice. So
this leads me into talking about an event that you thought was trash that I thoroughly enjoyed.
Oh, okay. I was just going to talk about that. Well, I was going to talk about the UFC first. But
the bare knuckle MMA. Did you get a chance to watch it at all?
I've seen it before, but I didn't see this one.
It gives me that feel of the original UFC. And I was talking to Dev about it today because I think that there's a space in bare knuckle MMA for a fighter that isn't an athlete good enough to make it to the UFC or Bellator.
Okay.
Where you could be a tough guy, a good fighter, but maybe not an elite athlete. Right. And in the UFC, Bellator, PFL, you have to be a good fight, a great fighter,
you need it all.
And an elite athlete.
You got to start to
where I think in bare knuckle, you could get away with a not that elite level athleticism,
right,
but everything else that a fighter has and be successful.
So like a weekend warrior, you think about?
I even think more than a weekend warrior, but I would say I don't think the Diaz brothers today, if they started today, would make it to the UFC because they don't have the complete skill set or the complete athleticism to make it to the UFC. But they would be tailor-made for bare-knuckle MMA.
It's like Mike Perry is not cut out to be the top guy in the UFC. But
or
he's
boxing.
But he's the top guy in bare-knuckle.
Yes,
right. You know? He's fighting Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah.
Same thing. Eddie Alvarez is like, he's not at the top of MMA anymore.
Right.
But he's not. He's pretty athletic.
Eddie Alvarez is amazing. You know, just as an aside.
Right.
UFC champ. Bellator champ.
One.
Or Ryzen.
Dream.
Dream.
I don't know if he was the Dream champ.
He's won a title in every organization he's been in.
One, maybe.
Yeah.
Nice.
Or Bodog.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like you saw they had a face off sitting there. It, a lot of it looked, Eddie looked like he wanted to laugh, but he was trying to hold it in, like, because what's his name was just fucking slinging. Mike Perry, Perry was slinging all kinds of crazy
shit. That's an interesting fight because Perry's a lot bigger than Eddie Alvarez.
Right.
Alvarez used to fight at 55.
Mike Perry seems, like you were saying, that he could be the one of the greatest all time in bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah. Really? That's great. See, he has the level of reckless abandonment that it might
but
take.
But if you also, like you were saying,
Ensko,
he went up against Michael Venom Page, who's a superior athlete, superior martial artist, and didn't beat his ass, but beat him.
Luke Rockhold, who is a much superior mixed martial arts
fighter. And athlete.
Yeah.
And he took him out in like 2 minutes.
Yep.
You know? Because getting hit with bare knuckles is so much different than getting hit with a glove.
Yeah.
And that's where the bare knuckle, like Hector Lombard.
Yes. Yeah.
He, you know, did great in Bellator, goes to the UFC. Yeah. I don't think he won maybe more than two fights in the UFC if I can remember. But so powerful. Even at 45 years old, these guys can still be dangerous at 45. Where in the UFC.
Did he win this fight?
He did.
He did bare knuckle MMA. Then,
He won it. Had it overturned and had the overturned fight.
Overturned. Okay.
Returned.
Returned.
Oh, he had it returned.
He had it turned.
Yeah. And then the big country. That was great.
Roy Nelson.
Who was he fighting?
I don't know.
Not the lockdown guy. The guy was in the UFC. He fought Paul Harris and couldn't get leg locked by Paul Harris.
Belcher?
Mm-hmm.
He fought Belcher?
I don't know who.
Belcher is he's the heavyweight or was the heavyweight bare knuckle FC champ, but I didn't know.
I believe he fought. Yeah.
So who won?
I think Belcher won.
Yeah.
Nice.
Belcher won. Also lost.
Yeah. Belcher's really good.
But you said it's closest to UFC. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still didn't particularly like
because the blows are so much. They count so much more when they land, right? And it's bare knuckle but taped wrist.
Okay.
And taped back of your hand,
right.
So you still have some structure and some safety behind it, where you can add some extra punching power. It's
interesting how much striking changes from 16-ounce gloves or 10-ounce gloves to 4-ounce to bare knuckle. Like how much you have to punch different with an MMA glove than you do with a boxing glove, and even more so with a bare fist compared to an MMA glove.
That was one of the fights that they thought that the decision was off. Which one was that? Do you recall?
I'm not sure.
There was one of them where, and then I love what the announcer said. He says, "Well, we're not here. You know, we don't really call the fight, so we don't know. But we all and they were like, oh, because King Mo was one of the announcers. They were like, this guy won 2 out of 3, but they're giving it to this other guy."
I was talking to Dev today about it. And Masvidal might be onto something with this bare knuckle MMA. I think he can make a space.
He sells it, and makes some money, and shuts the fuck up.
But.
Respectfully to that brother.
The production was dog shit.
Yes.
The announcing, the time in between. The UFC has this thing down. Yeah. The coordination, the logistics of it, they should just sell their logistics package to other MMA events. That
every other show does it so wrong. Like, even if every other show would just cut down the time in between fights.
That's all. I just want to watch fights. What I mean? Like, why do we need. Nobody knows who Dan Lambert is. Dan Lambert was one of the announcers for the fight.
Okay.
Nobody knows who King Mo is.
I don't even think that matters. I think it's the time between.
Saying is like they're making a big deal that, this is Dan Lambert. Like,
he's an American top team.
He's a guy that started an American top team, yeah. Like you hardly know who he is.
Yeah.
Was he the main guy?
The tall guy in the middle, if you saw.
Okay,
yeah.
Got you.
Nice. He's a
King
billionaire,
Mo was
right?
The black guy.
He's like I knew who King Mo
was. He's like a billionaire, right?
Dan Lambert. Probably, maybe.
But that was my issue with it. The production, like, it was just like, this is so bad.
Just run me
it
fights.
Reminded me of the shitty ones I used to go to back in the day. Like, we used to go to the ones in, like, I'm not going to throw anybody's name, certain name, mm-hmm. but it reminded me of all the shitty ones that everyone tried to do if they weren't in South Jersey mm-hmm. or AC or fucking the Naga fights. I'll throw them out. The Naga fights out in fucking Ace in Wildwood.
What do you think they're getting so wrong? Like, why is it so hard to understand that fans just want to watch fights?
Yeah.
It boggles my mind even watching like a Bellator show and there's like 15-20 minutes of bullshit and interview. They have interviews with fighters that aren't even fighting that night on a Bellator show that nobody cares.
I think it's the live event.
Do you think
live events
but
are
is it,
too
is
difficult.
It us or it is could, it them?
No.
It's them, for sure.
I think the logistics, like you said, The entire package. It's just a lot to do. And that's why the UFC is at the top of that game, because they're so good at it. And it's easier, I'm assuming it's easier to get everyone to comply and do exactly what the UFC wants because they're the UFC. These smaller ones, like they consider it to be, this is less.
Right, but
and then they're in, where did this fight take place? In
Tuscaloosa?
Somewhere, like, yeah. The hotbed of who the fuck cares. So, like, that kind of
Tunica,
shit.
Mississippi?
Hey, man, how about certain parts of West Virginia? I don't know if you've ever been in any fights in West Virginia, like the three of us.
But they had the same problem, and we did, since we've been off for a while, the Ngannou-Tyson Fury fight.
Like, all right, let's jump right into that, man.
What the, I didn't pay for it, but I'm bitching like I did.
Yeah.
It's still my time.
But we've talked about this before, right? Well, we've talked about it privately. We've talked about this. Those events held in Abu Dhabi and in Saudi Arabia, what are they
like? Sports washing.
That's what you think it might be going on. But I don't think they don't particularly seem to care about the American fans.
You sports washing mean they're like laundering money?
No. They're sports washing because countries that are known to have high amounts of human rights violations. So they bring in these high profile sports events to make their country look way.
It's like, look over here, not over here.
Exactly. Don't look behind the curtain.
There you go. Yeah. It could be, you know, who knows? Everyone has their
own. That's why you look, there's Formula One races in Bahrain and Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. So.
Right. And then people go, oh, it's nice there. Yeah, it's so clean. Yeah. Things are good. But
so safe.
But I'd still go to any one of those countries, no shade to them. But I don't think when they hold these events, I don't think they're just not concerned with the American market when they're doing it. Even the
I don't
UFC.
Think they're concerned with the market at all. I think they're doing it as they're just like showing off.
Yeah, right. The rumor that I share with you guys is 67,000 pay-per-view sales for Ngannou versus Fury.
Right.
Yeah.
So, now, did you watch it?
I did.
I did not. Did you watch it, Timmy?
I watched highlights.
The highlights?
Of Ngannou Fury? You didn't watch the whole fight?
No.
Everyone's saying it was a robbery, Ngannou.
No, not a robbery.
Okay. Chael Sonnen said it was a robbery.
Okay. Yeah, he's one man's opinion.
He's one of the, you know.
People say it's Ngannou won the fight, Fury won the contest. Like, it's like, okay. Like Fury won, like, by the scoring of boxing, but Francis Ngannou beat
him. Ngannou won your heart.
Yeah, he beat him up.
Okay. So how did you feel about it? What, you thought it was spot on?
I thought it was fantastic. Okay? I could have seen it being a split decision either way. That's why I'm saying it's not a robbery.
Yeah.
If it was Ngannou's split decision, you know what? I see it. Tyson Fury's split decision, I see. I think he won more rounds. I think the rounds that Ngannou won were more convincing, especially with the knockdown. And everybody thought and was saying that Tyson Fury is one of the, if not the greatest heavyweight of all time. Mm-hmm. He's going to make Ngannou look like he doesn't deserve to be in there. And that was not the case. So that is why most people think Ngannou won, is because of how well Ngannou did.
Yeah.
And really,
he did do well. Ngannou, and he did do well.
He did phenomenal.
And Ngannou did win. Like, he won.
Yeah, overall, he
did win.
Most people, even boxing people, are like embarrassed that how well he did with Tyson Fury. Like
it's a testament to a lot of things. I will say that how disciplined of a fighter that Ngannou is, that he was able to stick to his game plan for the most part, that he didn't go nuts, crazy, wild. Number one, break any rules, or number two, when he knocked him down, he didn't try to hunt for that knockdown or that knockout again,
right?
Which was smart on his part.
I feel like he brought a lot of credibility to MMA fighters transitioning into boxing in another way, like being in a successful way, not in a clown, not in the entertainment space.
I think from
not
a skill set standpoint, he's the exception that proves the rule. He's probably guy that'll be able to do it.
That's a very valid point on how.
Yeah, I think a heavyweight's a little bit different than
it could be. But like, listen, he's definitely, MMA's been looking like shit in a lot of the boxing matches. Okay, so let's be honest. If they're saying he won, he'd be the first one they say is really winning out there.
I still don't think that he's super marketable. He's an interesting story.
I mean, listen, man, they're giving the man money.
That's different.
He's getting paid.
He's making a whole lot of money. Good for him.
You have to give that man his props for everything that he's literally fought for.
Yeah.
Right? In one way or another, mm-hmm. to get everything that he's wanted and to not accept offers that he's not happy with when everyone told him, no, this is all you're going to get, this is all you're going to get. And he's basically made a market for himself.
Yeah. And he would definitely probably, if he was more marketable, to your point, like if he played the game, if he was like a villain, or if he spoke a certain way, but he seems to be in the way he worked, his affect and everything seems to be like that's who he is.
Right.
He's even when he loses, or like after the real bad fight with what's his face, like it was like that, you know, like sorry, like that kind of thing. Like he seems like a nice guy, but it's a good thing for Francis, and I knew he was going to get the bag.
I think, and I've been saying this, that people are talking about why would he fight MMA if he could fight boxing again, fight in a boxing match. I believe the contract with the PFL guarantees him $10 million per fight, which I don't give a fuck how much money you have. $10 million is still a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
I think they say the Saudis have given PFL like $100 million.
Great.
And that he should continue to only box and still fight MMA, because I doubt that there's anybody in the PFL that can beat him without him continuing his jiu-jitsu or wrestling training, and if he just focuses on boxing so that he could take his next boxing match,
right,
and still fight MMA and destroy people like he has been. Because people are like, well, he shouldn't. I think even Kyle and Blonde Fighter were saying he shouldn't fight MMA because of the money that'll make him boxing. But he's, man, $10 million, I would still fight MMA.
Would you fight MMA for $10 million, or would you fight Anthony Joshua for $20? Or would you fight Deontay Wilder for 15 or 20? Like, those are the fight. Like, so yeah. The boxers are trying to get fights with Francis Ngannou.
Right.
Now, let's go into that.
So why would he take a $10 million MMA fight as opposed to, he could do two more boxing matches and make $40 million or four MMA fights.
Yeah, but you don't do, so matches and, you know, he has the option to do both. Why wouldn't you do both?
But let's go back,
because he can make way more doing one.
Let's go back to what you alluded to in the beginning about all the boxers that want to fight with him.
So like right after the fight, Eddie Hearn, Joshua's promoter, was trying to book a fight with him. Derek Chisora has been calling him out.
Do we know how much he made for this fight against Fury?
They say 20. It was like stuff that just rumors.
Okay, but so you wouldn't fight for 10?
Not if I had an offer for 20.
But there hasn't been anything signed. Like, he has a signed contract with the PFL. That fight still needs to be made. So if he could call the PFL tomorrow and say, hey, give me a fight in February, they can make that fight for him. He's guaranteed that $10 million. That's guaranteed $10 million. That's why you take that fight. And in the meanwhile, while he's still boxing, he sets up the fight with Anthony Joshua. I believe he could do both.
I believe he could. I don't think he will.
Right. I think he should.
You think he should? If you were on his team,
I'd be like, fire your jiu-jitsu coach, fire your Muay Thai coach, fire your wrestling coach. Don't step foot into an MMA gym. Get the PFL to give you the right fight where you could destroy a guy, grab your fucking $10 million, and continue boxing so that you fight Anthony Joshua.
So is he going to set a new precedent for combat athletes?
I don't think so. No, I think he's probably...
Well, hasn't he done that already by being one of the first boxers to be kind of... the first MMA guy to be what you would consider to be successful in boxing? You don't think he's not going to break it?
Because
if he starts taking boxing matches and MMA matches, that's a whole new thing.
They have talked about...
It's a whole new thing.
He alluded to fighting Deontay Wilder in MMA.
And Deontay Wilder on one of the biggest podcasts there was.
So we've had way more MMA fighters fight in boxing than we've had boxing champions come to MMA.
Yeah.
Who's James Toney?
Clarissa Shields.
Art Jimerson.
Clarissa Shields.
Melton Bowen.
That's he was four. A boxing champion?
He's like a WBC champ.
That's four right there.
Look it up.
I will.
Yeah. There's more. I would say there's more risk depending on the fight.
Cruiserweight, maybe?
They would do. But I think if Francis does exactly.
It was Melton, right? Melton
Bowen.
Yeah.
I think if Francis does what you said, he'd be setting a new precedent for MMA, for a combat fighter.
Don't see him fighting MMA again.
Yeah. You don't think he should, though?
I don't think he should. If he could get a fight with Anthony Joshua.
Yo, Melton Bowen's dead. Rest in peace to Melton Bowen.
What?
I don't know. Maybe this is a different Melton Bowen. Let me bring it back.
Bowen's family.
Hey, a 35-9 boxing record.
Look at that, bro. Was he a champ?
I'm trying to see now.
Yeah.
Jamaican. Keep going.
I think he might set a new precedent. And it'll be exciting because he's definitely been vilified in many different ways by many different people.
Yeah, it's really
two people sitting in this room.
It sucks for the
and he's been even keeled the entire time. When you hear him talk, you hear his affect. He's not shitting on anybody. He's just doing what he has to do. to get to where he wants to go. And it's a fabulous thing. I think he's a great example of what, you know, the sports could be.
It really sucks for the PFL because now they got to pay him $10 million for an MMA fight, and they have to pay his opponent. I think he guaranteed his opponent $2 million. So, hey, like,
man, they got it just what do you, all of a sudden, you're worried about the PFL?
No, I'm not worried. I'm just saying it would suck to have made that deal.
Yeah.
Because who are you going to get to fight?
Why does it suck for the PFL to have made that deal? They knew the deal that they were offering.
Yeah. I just think it was a bad deal.
Well, then they shouldn't have made it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And you feel bad for a corporate entity?
It's like saying you feel bad for the PFL.
It's like saying it sucks for them.
I didn't say it feels. I feel
bad. That's the same thing.
Yo, rewind the tape.
Right here.
There. Yeah, there it is.
Maybe I did. But I'll make a correction. I don't feel bad. It would just suck to be the PFL and have to pay Francis. And, like, I just don't think they're going to make any of their money back.
Listen, bro, they just got $100 million from the Saudis. They'll be fine. Okay. Listen, they'll be fine. Everybody knows the game and who's at the top. They'll keep churning away until something else. So I enjoy what's going on with Francis. I hope to see him do both sports if he possibly could. I would say fuck that. Just keep boxing, make that money, and then, you know what I mean, get that.
Would you not take a $10 million fight, is what you're saying?
I mean, no. If it came, yeah, if it was right. Like, you know, if he has the power, if at this point in his life he has the power to make these decisions, it could be a good call. Right fight, right fit.
He said he wants to fight, I think, 2 or 3 times next year.
Hey, man.
He said early, boxing or MMA? Early 2024. He just said fight.
Listen, bro, I think that'd be setting a new precedent in combat sports.
And he's talked
about if he does both things, it'd be amazing. It's like prime time, baby. It's like, you know, playing in the
Bo Jackson,
prime time, being able to do stuff like that. Yeah.
So he fought for the title, never won it.
No.
Okay.
Title contender.
Nice.
Different than champion.
You switch
same
your games.
Same thing. Title of Jace.
Your switch-up game is solid. Let's go into some of the statistics. You put up a thing. It was super interesting.
Yes.
This is still in the vein of combat sports and UFC.
I think it's specifically the UFC, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But, you know, but keeping that same thing, keeping that same energy, keep talking about fighting. Let's go into that.
So every choke finish in the last 30 years of the UFC.
30 years.
So not surprisingly, the number one choke in mixed martial arts via the UFC is the rear naked choke. Of all chokes, that's almost 50% of all chokes that occur.
Yes. That's 558
chokes. The next one is the guillotine, which is 143. So you go from 50% to 12%, and then it's a bunch of other chokes. Guillotine should really be the same, honestly. And then arm triangle, and then really...
I like how they even break down left to right. So like... out of the 556 rear naked chokes, 303 were right arm.
Right.
And 255 were left arm.
And the loss of consciousness is the other interesting stat.
I wonder where LOC is. What? That's crazy. So there's 44 loss of consciousness when it comes to
for rear naked chokes.
Yeah. Yes. So, I wonder what the knockout statistics are.
Yeah, I was just wondering that.
That'd be great, too. Where'd you find this chart? Where can people find it? They're super interesting. Nice.
Yeah, they can Google it.
Information. That's what's up.
Google.
Nice.
ChatGPT.
There you go. Get your Googles AI together, fam. Do your thing. All right, moving on. Let's
UFC last night?
Yeah, let's go. Let's get right into it. Timmy, let's talk about it.
Two big fights, right?
Yeah, two big fights. All the fights were good. I think they were all finishes for the
every
main card.
One?
On the main card.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe. Yeah, I think the first
KO,
one was...
KO. You want to go all... What the hell did I just do? Here we go.
It was Saint-Denis versus Frivola. Oh, yeah. And then Pat Sabatini lost. Yeah, Frivola. Saint-Denis, the French guy that thanked
Americans
for saving
him. Yo, you're welcome, fam. You're welcome.
Yeah. He...
From the Ninja Rock Podcast, you are welcome.
Yeah,
welcome,
he's got a lot of hype behind him. So does Frivola, but he knocked out
you too.
Frivola with a head kick. It was cool. It was like Frivola was running away, and he just flicked his foot up. His like toes caught his eyebrow and put him out. And then Mackenzie Dern got KO'd by Andrade.
She's going through some personal problems lately, getting divorced, so her head might not be into it.
Yeah. And then Diego Lopez beat Pat Sabatini.
Pretty early into the first round, right?
Yeah, it was 1:30 in the first round. That was a tough one. This Diego Lopez and Saint-Denis are both like big time hype trains.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think well deserved, but there's a lot of hype behind these guys.
And like then, Paddy Plimblin, like that guy.
Plimblin.
These guys are legitimate.
Okay.
Good fighters, and then Pavlovich versus Aspinall. That was surprising. Aspinall knocked him out in a minute and 9 seconds.
Yeah, what would have been your prediction on that?
I predicted Aspinall, but I thought it'd be like the third or fourth round.
Takedown, submission,
A submission or a TKO on the ground. But the most impressive part was that Pavlovich tagged Aspinall like real early, rocked him a little bit, and then 30 seconds later he knocked him out. Yeah, it was super impressive. And then Pereira versus Prochaska was Pierre versus Prochaska was that was a great fight too. Did you see it?
Knockout? I saw the highlight.
Yeah. So it was back and forth. They both hurt each other a little bit. And then he caught him with like a right hand and a left hook. And then it rocked him, made Prochaska shoot. And then he finished him with elbows to the side of the head.
It was a bit. Didn't Prochaska bitch about it in the cage?
No.
About getting stopped? That's what I thought they were.
The announcers were like, I think that's early.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then, but when Prochaska didn't protest at all when he stopped it.
I'd heard there was a protest. I thought it was from Prochaska.
And then when he got up in the interview, he's like, it was a good decision. He's like, I was hurt.
Because when he got mounted, it's like he pulled mount.
Well, his arms went back.
Yeah, the referee can't unring that bell.
And as soon as, like, he rolled to his knees as soon as they pulled Pierre off. But he sat up and just, like, looked down at the ground. Like, he wasn't like, I was fine. He just accepted it right away. So,
Awesome. He's coming off of injury, and that might be his
first fight back.
His first fight back, but also he's got like a no contest loss, or he has a loss from, I believe, an illegal strike
in the UFC.
In another organization, yeah. So
it's awesome for. I think this puts Pierre like he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Has to be
because he
185 pounds.
That was his 11th fight, and he's won 2 UFC titles. 11th fight. Total, and like his 6th fight in the UFC, and he's already got 2 titles.
He called Izzy out, didn't he?
Yeah, he said.
Oh, really?
He said, come to daddy. He said he wants Izzy to come up. He's not going back down.
Izzy's coming off of a loss, though. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Izzy says he's taking 3 years off. He's coming back in 2027.
Really?
Yeah. That's what he said.
When Pierre is 40.
I wonder what the deal is with his contract. He's still contractually
not sure. Some people are saying they think he's saying this because he keeps getting asked what he's doing next, and he says, "Come talk to me in 2027."
Nice. Hey man, listen. When you can punch your own ticket if you're that fly and you're doing your thing. Mark, can we move on from the UFC? Anything? Any other commentary?
Nah, I didn't watch the fight. So
we want to talk about You want to talk about Usman Nurmagomedov, whatever his name is?
Yeah,
being banned from Bellator.
Did you see that, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was, what's that stuff we had talked about from Russia?
Meldonium.
Right. Could have been. That Bobby Green had talked about those guys take, and that it's a medicine that you can get.
It's like a widely prescribed thing, and it's like for heart health or something.
Right,
and,
yeah. Guys take it when they go mountain climbing, too, to help with their cardio
output. You mean
output.
Here?
Hmm?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I take it sometimes.
Oh, nice.
What do you feel like when you take it?
I feel like it gives you a good amount of endurance, but it's not. It's
so
not
this
like,
is common where they come from. They use
and this is, he's
frequently.
Khabib's cousin, brother.
I think it's his cousin.
Yeah.
So and this is so you're saying this is very if it's this substance because they don't say, allude to it at any point little, in this comp this com this.
I did a little research, meaning I Google searched it, couldn't find anything.
Nice,
but I believe it
the
might
research
be something
of
it Ninja usually Rock. Comes out after a while. They'll tell you like what he tested positive for.
Right.
So.
And this was through the California State Athletic Commission post-victory urinalysis.
It also could be fucking taking steroids.
Right.
So probably, you know, it would probably be longer if it was that.
Well, it's like one of those things where it's like it was prescribed. It's like
it definitely says.
So they always have like
an out.
They never actually catch anybody. They rarely catch anybody. Just using steroids. It's always like there's some excuse or like.
But the other thing too is if you know the date of when you're being tested, it's not like I don't think Bellator uses USADA or some sort of, before competition screening. So if you know that you might win,
right.
Then you know what you should do to be able to not get caught. Like you have a fucking set date. Like that's just dumb on his part, I think.
And you think they would have known because didn't. Islam get in trouble for it? Or something? They talked about Islam using it.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, you would think that they would know. His manager is like one of the top manager in the UFC. So, he should tell him, like, hey, guys, make sure you don't take this.
Is this the reason why they have insane gas, though? Like, when you take it, is your gas fucking crazy?
I mean, you have to train.
It's not gonna, listen, on top, but, you know, we all understand it, but is it one of the reasons he has fucking,
like, if you have a gas, good gas tank, is crazy? And you take Moldonium, how much better is your gas tank?
A little bit. It's not, I don't know.
You never rolled when you've taken it?
I have, but I didn't notice a difference like that. You just feel a little bit less tired.
Okay. You
know? Which so,
speeds up
3% less tired can make a huge difference.
Dude, well, if you're top level, spear, five rounds in a Bellator fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and all these guys are probably.
And you're not tired at the fifth round, and the other guy is.
Yeah.
But they're all taking something.
Probably. I mean, it seems like that's what's going on. So, how long is his ban?
6 months.
Six months, right? Yeah.
And is and it a strip fine? The title, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
And it's a $50,000 fine. What do you say? He is?
No, stripped of the title.
I thought it said it didn't. They weren't going to strip him of his title.
Oh,
I thought it
said. He will not be stripped of his title.
Okay.
All right, so we were wrong.
I thought it said
he was. He's got white people. Anyway, I'm glad I read it, and I got it right here because, you know, sheesh.
Did we talk about Tim fucking up our day but to get started? We didn't even
I think we made the day better.
Yeah?
We got to spend a little time together outside.
We spent a little chit-chat.
Yeah, we got to do it outside.
Pull the knife out.
In the cold.
He got his
provided entertainment.
Out Dundee on a sudden. That's not a knife.
How many inches is that thing?
Whoa.
Pause.
From tip
which
to tip.
Thing? All the which thing?
Oh.
I think it might be a 7 or 8 inch.
Pause. Pump.
That whole thing is 7 or 8 inches.
I'm saying the blade.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Is
that a Bowie knife?
No, it's an Espada.
No, that means sword in Spanish, which Marco was right on top of it.
It's got a nice handle on it.
It's outrageous, bro. This is outrageous.
What made you buy that?
I saw it.
The length of the grip.
No, I just saw it.
Nice.
I saw it on Cold Steel's Instagram.
Got you.
And I was like, I got to get that.
This is ridiculous.
The one guy that buys it?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure. No, there's tons of guys.
Yeah. They have limited quantities left on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, of course they do.
Yeah. I actually have another version of this. The smaller, it's got a plastic handle. It's a little bit smaller, though. It's not as cool.
Nice.
What I really like is how sort of like nice the handle looks.
Yeah. How people will run and scream if you pull that out?
Yes. It's deadly and dangerous. But we're glad you got in the car. Glad, you know, they came.
We saved the dog.
They saved the dog. Was in the car. It went.
I think
time.
We
Luckily,
did.
The dog
we all
fine.
Did it together.
We did.
And, yo, it's interesting to see how easy it is to break into a
you
car.
You see that? Yo, that thing he had, I didn't know that he would pull up and it
a
would
little
just pull.
The lasso
I didn't think
thing?
It would, yeah. I didn't think that, that's
what Have you like seen that used. Before?
Like a little noose almost.
Yeah. That was weird. yeah, but it's a little, you know what I mean? Like one of those things. It was pretty interesting. My man came in quick, man.
Yeah, he came in hot. I thought he was Canadian at first.
Yeah, it looked like he really know how to break into a car.
He works for the company. Yeah. I'm sure he's trained.
Sure
he has all the proper techniques.
I'm sure he's trained.
All the proper.
What do you mean?
He's got a lot of training.
He has proper the equipment.
Yeah.
So
guy really knows what he's doing.
Yo, what'd you hit him with, fam? What'd you hit him with?
$20.
Nice. That was a solid, fam. Solid. Give me one of these, right? Bang. Solid for the brother. Peace to that brother. Hope he's out there, you know what I mean, living, doing his thing.
I like when he said the Medusa head. That's the Sicilian flag.
It is the Sicilian flag. I didn't want to go. I wasn't going. I was like,
what's
oh,
that?
Word? Yeah. The Sicilian flag? Do you know the it's a
face? It's called a Trinacria. It's a three-legged and a woman's face in the middle.
You know what it is.
You've
seen
about?
It before.
When did that come
When we were talking about pizza up where he's from.
Oh, okay.
And I said Lilo's. He goes, yeah, the place with the Medusa head.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wasn't
Sicilian flag has a Medusa head on it?
No.
Oh,
Jesus. Jeez. We got to retell you the whole thing. The symbol is a woman's face and the three legs, but he said it was a Medusa head.
Okay.
Now do you understand?
Nope.
Okay. that's my favorite part of the podcast right there. Any tales from the Banya, gentlemen? I say that knowing that there's at least two.
There's been a towel thief in our midst.
Hey?
Yeah, it's Medusa.
Okay. So
those are snakes.
Not legs?
No.
No.
And
flesh-colored snakes.
Flesh-colored. Hey, oh.
Yo, real quick, RP to the, you know, to
Milton
Paulie.
Bowen.
That, no. Wherever you are, Milton, RIP to you.
Who?
Paulie, the guy who played
Paulie
on Rocky.
I think a lot of people died. I think Suzanne Summers died.
She, I mean, you got that on there. You put that in. And some other ones I just didn't recheck.
Who else died?
I don't know.
Paulie, Suzanne Summers.
Yeah, man, Paulie, man.
A lot of the greats.
Hey, but what direction are we going in now? What are we talking about?
Tales from the Banya.
Thief. Towel thief. Timmy.
Oh, I got, this is like almost a month ago now.
Yeah.
But one of the guys at the Banya hooked me. It was a very crowded guy. Hooked me up with like a stack of like 7 towels.
Woo.
And a robe.
It was probably more like 10.
Maybe. It was a lot. So I put them on my table. I went into the saunas and shit. I came back out and there was like 2 or 3 left.
Wow.
Somebody had, and I thought, at first I had thought it was one of the other towel guys was like, no, you don't get that many. And like took them
but
back.
But you're not sure. You're not
I'm
sure.
I'm not sure because then he had another one. He said he got punked by the Uzbeks.
No. Ooh, Marco.
I don't know if they were Uzbeks.
You got A-mogged.
I got what?
A-mogged.
What's A-mogged?
Look it up.
Bro.
I learned what the term.
Or mogged. I think it's mogged.
I learned the term turf today.
Trans-exclusionary radical feminist?
Yeah.
Yo, and the person that taught me that said to ask you because you would know.
Yeah. I've heard of Dave Chappelle talked about it.
Yeah.
But, Marco, what happened that you...
Yeah, so I had similar situation, bunch of towels. You know, they treat... When you're good to these dudes, they treat you... They treat you right. And had a bunch of towels on the table, water bottle, my robe. They didn't steal my towel. They took my robe.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's even more of a mug.
You're gonna keep saying that? The listener's not gonna know what.
Nah, they can look it up. They can look it up.
You're gonna fucking whoever invented this stupid term.
Yeah, they can look it up.
Got you. I hope you're not breathing too much in the mic, by the way. So,
but yeah, so there was this group of as Tim would refer to them, mountain people, and I didn't see them take it, so I can't accuse them of taking it. Yeah. But I think it was them because at one point I see one of them get up, walk over to another table, take the ketchup off their table, and then take a handful of fries off of a person's plate.
That's fucked up. Yeah. Don't touch other people's food.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's
okay,
crazy.
Mountain people, don't do that. That's just not cool. Interesting. And the only tales from the Banya? Because you guys go a lot more frequently than I go. So anything interesting happening other than that?
Nah, it's been – it just seems like –
Are you going today?
Probably.
Yeah. Quite
seems like there's a lot more mountain people than there used to be.
One night, I think they were trying to just close, and then something about me is I don't mind being an asshole, but I never want to be a nuisance.
Hey, man.
Right?
Respect. Mm-hmm. Respect.
So
respect
if I know they're trying to close up, I'm like, all right, I'm out. Boom. Throw my da, 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 da. You know, these mountain folks were splashing and playing in the pool.
That's the thing that bothers me about them.
Dimitri was standing there at the counter with where the food is, just looking at them. They didn't give a fuck.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
They paid their money.
Yep.
They're gonna get all they
but
can.
But I will say this. The Banya will take your money 30 minutes before they're getting ready to close and not tell you they're closing in 30 minutes. I'm pretty sure. I think I've seen that happen.
No, listen, if any of the people that listen to this ever want to go there, specifically the one we go to, send a message. You know, hopefully we lay some game on you. Don't go there too late because they're still going to charge you full price.
Yeah,
so, which is, you know,
I wasn't going to go, but I think I might go today. I don't know.
Got you.
I got my
you
stuff.
You put up
me.
The thing about the steak cake. Was that just a fun for us?
That seemed like a steak cake. Wouldn't you want to have steak cake?
That fucking sounds awesome.
I wouldn't want a steak cake.
Why not? Want a steak cake?
Because I would want a steak.
Yeah, and the layer of prime rib followed by a ribeye topped by a filet mignon. Come on, bro.
What's the icing?
Mashed potatoes.
Must be butter. Is it? Oh, it is mashed potatoes. Yeah,
like,
is it?
I don't want fucking mashed potatoes squashed all over my.
You have the knife for it too.
Oh, you. Yeah. You see, you fucking the game.
This isn't a cake knife. That's a steak knife.
Yeah, but it's a.
Is it a cake steak knife?
It's a steak.
I'm not gonna fucking.
You can't. You're not pulling out the espada on a steak cake.
No, this is
you hear that,
Nick?
Get him a steak. We're going to fucking get you a steak.
This is for business, not for pleasure. Yeah. What kind of business?
Whoa.
Is business good right now?
Yo, quick shout out to the brother Danny, Dan Pacific. Cigars are great. Thank you so much. It took me down like a bit of a nostalgic kick to some of the guys, like, you know, the birth of NJMA and some of the guys that I missed from that time. You know what I mean? Some of you. So shout out to Danny, Charlie, Pete. I know I'm probably forgetting somebody, but some of you guys, man, it was dope. You know, Timmy, when you would come around, some of those dudes it was a real fun time back then.
I'm gonna go off script right now.
If you want to,
what's the best impression you've ever heard
of?
Impression.
Best impression of impressions?
Mm-hmm. No, best impression.
Oh man,
Timmy, dead silence is not a good thing. Yeah,
Norm McDonald. David Letterman.
Dad?
Norm MacDonald doing David Letterman.
Okay.
I'm sure there's better ones, but.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull this up.
Songs from my old roommate. They'd be like, what the fuck? The police. Yeah, I was in Greece.
Oh, is that Shane Gillis doing? I've heard this. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Who is that?
That's Dan Soder.
Yes.
Doing
Macho Man.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
You got to hear him do Jesse Ventura is even better.
Well, that's I've heard. I think that's I've heard the one.
You see Mean Gene the
right.
Open up, yeah. Getting taxed on forgetfulness.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't think that's right. I'm not doing it justice right now.
No, you're not.
It is the fucking. I believe it's the greatest impersonation I've ever heard. Is Dan Soder doing Macho Man Randy Savage singing a Biggie song?
Yes, that is what he was doing. Yeah. Let's go back to what I was talking about now. You done with your horse shit?
Check out the Jesse Ventura impression.
The Jesse Ventura, that's a good one.
It's good.
Because he tells the whole story like he said.
He
wait,
does.
Was that him or is that?
I'm pretty sure it was Dan Soder.
Who's the guy? No, it might have been Will Sasso.
Maybe you're right.
No, I think Will it is Sasso.
Will
Sasso.
Yes.
Will
right.
Sasso.
You're right, it is Will Sasso.
See how you fucking assholes pull me right?
It's cousin Lou Sasso. Is.
Nice. That's a good one. Back to the nostalgic time, the beginning of NJMA. Marco, can you talk a little bit about that, what that was like getting it all started and stuff like that? Something I want to just briefly. And some of the, you know, we had a lot of guys, it was a lot of people who wanted to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of the people that might not know the story is this, New Jersey Martial Arts started off as a Taekwondo school called Champion Martial Arts, started by a friend of ours, Joe Prioli. Unfortunately, he passed away from cancer. I was working for him at the time.
The bad Hodgkins.
Had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Passed away mid to late 30s. And that was that type of cancer was common in that age bracket
right.
that he was
right,
in.
Right, right.
So I wind up buying the school from this woman, Karen May. At one point, I had a business partner. I buy my business partner out. And kind of that's the technical genesis of New Jersey martial right. arts, where we were just friends that started, you know, Joe and I were really good friends that started training jiu-jitsu at Maxercise together, and he offered me a job and I took it quickly, and this is kind of where we're at. And I had to try and run the school the best I could as he was sick, and then run it with a business partner, and then buy my business partner right. out and run it. You know, it's definitely it's been through some transformations for sure.
And so have you. And we had a great group of guys.
For
we had
sure,
a, great,
still
a lot
do.
Of great
yeah.
guys here now.
When did
a lot of guys
it change from champion to
2006?
But was that it was when you took it over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so yeah, you yeah. changed it from?
Yeah, because yeah. it was Joe Prioli's
right,
champion
right,
martial arts,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
And it was known as a Taekwondo school, and it was really more known for kids. And he had brought me in to teach adult yeah. jiu-jitsu, which he had a small program. And we and
yeah,
we
he was in. Also like, I don't know how many other school there was. Maxercise, Henzo's at one point in Philly, and then
and him.
Prioli's.
Yeah,
no,
us, yeah,
no,
yeah.
the other guy.
He was an amazing dude. He was like a super tough competitor, super nice guy. Fought
real
MMA,
guy,
fought
serious
like,
sales guy.
Fought like real MMA before
yeah,
it was like
yeah,
a thing.
He did. Yo,
yeah.
so he fought MMA in 10-ounce MMA gloves that were gel packed in the front. You made a fist in those, it was like getting hit with cement.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Well, Maxercise, he was in his corner. Steve Maxwell was in his corner.
Yeah,
yeah. So interesting time. Shout out to all those guys that started. Even if you know you're living your life with your kids and all that other stuff.
If you listen, if you don't
R.I.P.
listen.
If you don't.
Joe Prioli.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Joe Prioli. And Danny, thank you for the cigars. Yo, I want to shout out to my man Super Buick. Ran a half a marathon yesterday. Did a
Super
Rocky
B.
Run. Yeah, Super B. Rocky run.
Did a half
13. An 13.2. Huh?
Did half an M.
Half an M. That's what he got. Yo, shout out to you, my guy. You know what I mean? 13. Another 1. Great dad. Another great dad that I know. Another great dad. We're going to be doing a dinner in a couple weeks. It's going to be banging. That's we went camp. Oh, we went. Oh,
yeah,
my
you
camping
went.
Trip. Yeah, I went on a camping trip with him and some of the guys. I'm going to be honest, this is the first time he's going to hear about it. I thought it was going to fucking suck. I was like, but it was awesome. It was awesome. We, all kinds of stuff went on. It was just, we just had a great time.
What
man.
Kind of stuff went on?
Nah, you know, like, so the campsite was really active. They did a Halloween thing. The guys.
What'd you dress up as?
I didn't. The guys went and did this Halloween hike. I didn't participate. Exactly. But they had a great time. We had some of the real young, we had, you know, like, I'm not going to say we these cats OGs, but we're older than these guys, you know what I mean? And these dudes are family guys. And then we had the two young boys with us, Jake and Adrian. So we had a great time, man. I can't stress enough how it was. I did realize at that trip that I am from now on a glamper. I am not a camper. I will only be I'm already. If we're doing this again, I'm trying to set up. Can we rent some kind of trailer of some sort so I can sleep in there? Even though I did get some good sleep after being up for 24 hours, I felt like maybe I reset my circadian rhythm because I was up that long, being in the forest. But they had some creature comfort, so it wasn't. And we weren't too far from anything. So, but we were outside and away from stuff. So we pitched a tent. You know, first night was horrible. That's why I was up all night.
When you say pitched a tent.
What do you mean? We pitched an actual tent. We pitched two tents.
All at the same time.
All of us. We were all pitching
all
tents.
All together?
All together, we pitched tents. I don't think my folks will get that. I know what that means, but you know what I mean? But shout out to him. I didn't think it was going to be that. Originally, I was like, man, I'm going to do that. But it was a great time, man, really.
It's actually really great to have very, very low expectations when you're doing something.
Right.
Because even if it's not as bad as you think, it's it makes it you think it's better than it was.
Yo, the food, son?
The food sounded amazing.
We killed it, man. Again, shout out to Super Buick for the finishing butter on the burgers, fam. The brioche buns. The seeded buns. Shout out to Chris for the fajita.
Seeded brioche?
No, we had brioche. Burger number one, brioche. Burger number two, seeded bun. And shout out to Chris for the tacos. And he brought in seasoned beef. You know what I mean? He brought a mini Blackstone. And we set it up. He got the grill, man. I helped cook breakfast one morning. Made hash brown. It was just dope, man. Just sitting there talking, chopping it up. Shout out to D. Shout out to Chris. Shout out to Adrian. Everybody. Shout out to Jake and B. It was a great time, man. Hopefully, we'll have a great time when we do the dinner. So, shout out to all those cats on the nostalgic kick.
Yeah. Any news on Pig Face?
Let's go.
Yeah. When are we getting to Pig Face?
Oh, I'm still working on that. I'm still working on it. We're waiting. The last special they had was the pasta word that you said?
Oh, tagliatelle?
Yes. Tagliatelle. There you go. Tagliatelle, which is how it's pronounced. This guy gave me a bunch of shit. Here's my tail from the banya.
No, I didn't give him any shit.
I say it, and he looks at me. Really? And he goes to say he's disappointed in me. I had to cut him off. You know what I mean? So, Because
I knew how disappointed in yourself you'd be.
I was. That's why I've been researching it. And yo, it's hard not to say the G. And, you know, for you, of course, it's not.
Not for me.
Of course, it's not. Yo, I've been watching YouTube after YouTube saying every type of pasta in Italian. Properly saying.
So you don't say the G.
You don't.
It's silent.
How do you say spaghetti? Spaghetti.
You do. You know, and that's hard. G. Spaghetti. But
you don't say the G.
Depends on
it's
how
it's followed by the H. Yes, that's
spaghetti.
A hard. Spaghetti.
Oh, GH is G.
Spaghetti.
Like hard
grr.
What?
Hard like grr.
Yeah, you know you like the hard grr.
Man, it really comes easily for you, huh?
Hey, word up. Nice. Want to move in the questions? We only have one.
We have Plyler's Corner.
Oh, wait, has anyone competed in the last month?
Oh, we had some guys do tap out cancer yesterday.
Oh, man. Did they tap it out?
Yo, great for remembering.
Yeah. They did tap it out. They all beat cancer yesterday.
Nice.
They all came back cancer free.
Yep.
Yeah. Got you. Anything memorable? Were you there at this event? And where
was
it?
I was there. It was right down the street from my gym in Hatfield. I had a couple guys, a couple golds, a couple silvers, a couple bronzes. Some people did great. Some people did not so great.
Right. Nice. I had a crazy interaction the other day at a restaurant, and I was talking to one drunk lady and her friend. Well, her friend, the one lady sitting closest to me wasn't drunk, but her other friend was drunk, and we got in a discussion about dead birds. She walked around Philly early in the morning. They walk around the high rises and try to find dead birds that are laying on the ground.
For food?
No. For research. Because they're saying that... She said billions of birds are dying every year slamming into glass towers so that they're turning. Apparently, you can turn off the lights and the birds will not hit them. So it was an interesting thing. I was like, oh, this bitch is real drunk. And her friend who, you know, tried with hollered at me, which was cool. I didn't tell you about it, but it was real neat. We started talking about self-defense and I said, you're either a lion or a lamb. And the girl said next to me, this was at Bolo.
Okay.
She said, I guess I'm a lamb. I was like, you know what that means? She's like, what? I was like, means you're tasty. Yo, son, it worked, man. Yo, your man got game in these streets. Know how to run it. You know, what's it? Bump his gums. I think that's an old player has said that to me before. No competitions on your end,
Marco? Really, no.
No? Okay. Boom. Let's go. Question?
Yes, Plyler's Corner. Greetings, gentlemen. In many martial arts, you will hear the instructor talk about how they are teaching a move their instructor taught them that is hundreds of years old and has been passed on for generations. While there are some factions of the jiu-jitsu community that mirror the sentiment, most believe in the evolution of techniques. While the overall idea of a move might be the same, the way of performing a move consistently changes. What percentage of moves you currently use do you perform the same way you were taught as you were coming up through the ranks? In other words, what percentage of moves have you learned or relearned since receiving your black belt?
Timmy.
Probably 100%. I think everything gets refined over time. Like your instructor is going to teach you one way. I'm going to teach somebody the way I teach it. And then by the time they become a black belt and are teaching it again, they're going to have more details that they've, or just, maybe even a new way of
nuance, maybe
a nuance, or like different cues that they can give you to figure it out. But I think I would say, I can't think of anything I do exactly as I learned it, but a lot of the things I learned, I kind of learned on my own. Like I learned by watching them and then doing them. So 100%.
Okay. Marco.
Yeah, I've retired from grappling, so I don't grapple anymore. I'm just done with it.
You mean in combat, so to speak?
Yeah, just teach. Right. So I'm not training much at all, only because I'm so focused on teaching and other things. And I'm kidding about like not training, but yeah, probably 100%. I think what people fail to realize is that there's two sides to that teaching coin, right? There's right. what you're sending out, but also what the student is receiving. Mm-hmm. Right. And generationally, you know, like Tim might teach me something and he might be focusing on certain things that he's when he's teaching it. And as I'm receiving it, all right, I'm clearly recognizing that these things that he's talking about are important. But then I'm adding what I feel is important to me as I'm learning it. And when I'm passing it on to somebody else, they're receiving something different. So I don't think there's any technique that is ever going to be the same as anybody's ever taught it, not because we can't teach it the same, it's because everybody receives it differently.
But the end result is going to be the same though, right?
If you look at
I immediately, as you were reading, I thought about that chart we just read about the rear naked choke, like how successful it's been in the UFC, like that rear naked choke,
right? You know, the end result might be the same,
yeah, that formal
but
technique
what you know, like how Tim does a rear naked choke and how I do a rear naked choke, we could get the same result, but what we're focusing on as we're teaching, doing it, no, even as we're doing it, might be 17 different things I'm focusing on. He's focusing on 17 different things. And the things that he's focusing on might be an afterthought for me. I just do them because it's not something I focus on.
Right. So. It's like the way I learned the rear naked choke was like you wrap your arm around their neck, get your elbow under their chin and squeeze. Right. But now, like when I teach it, I teach different like ways to get the hand in and different ways to twist. So everybody adds those little things. So that's how I think things get better. If you look,
but you think that's a mechanism of the person learning the movement? Like, you know, like I'm not teaching you my jujitsu. I'm teaching you your jujitsu because I need to make it work the way I need to make it work. So I need to figure it out if I'm doing it wrong.
There's been a big push too in jiu-jitsu, and if you follow it on Reddit or on social media, on what's called the ecological approach, where you allow people, you don't even teach them, you give them kind of a structure and then almost have them figure it out on their own.
Okay. Because
there's an argument that techniques don't exist, right? But whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So be a lazy teacher.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Right. I'll be lazy.
Yeah.
I want to announce I'm starting to school tomorrow. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And come you just kind of
figure it out.
Right, right.
That's been the name of school. Come in, figure it out, jiu-jitsu. That's a BJJ.
It's a bit different than that. But yeah, I mean, if you're from the outside in, maybe it does.
That would be like you need, that means you need to find the school that best fits you. We've always said that to other people. So,
but also, the instructor needs to be most comfortable with,
for me.
You know, do you want to be and have an encyclopedic knowledge of jiu-jitsu techniques, or do you want to be an instructor that gives your students the ability to deal with what's ahead of them and how they best need to deal with it?
Right, because either one of them can work, though.
Can, right? Because they are. Well, here's a hammer. It's good for banging in nails.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just give a guy a nail and say, get this fucking nail in that piece of wood. Figure it out. Right? Like, all right. Well, the end result's still the same.
Come okay. back 10 years later and the nail's in backwards.
The nail's in backwards. And he has a hole in his hand. Right. He's like, yeah. I figured it out. I figured out how to do this. All right, cool. Next part.
It's always a two-parter. Always a two-parter. Also, if you were convicted of a horrible crime and had to choose, would you rather live in solitary confinement for the rest of your life or get the death penalty? Tim, you've been close to both. So
yep. I'll take death penalty.
Really?
Yeah, you get tons of time. You get a lot of appeals. It might be 30 years.
But you're like hacking the question. Question hack.
Is it instant death? It's like now, like you're going to spend the rest of
say so. It is. Yeah. Your answer is correct.
Yeah. So I would take the death penalty. There's always a chance it could be overturned. Now, if it was,
but then
okay. So but, if it's sudden but death.
The argument is that if it doesn't get overturned, then you get killed. If you take life in prison. There's your whole lifetime to get it overturned.
Yeah. In solitary.
And you can find a boyfriend, a little boyfriend.
No, you're in solitary.
Like
you don't get anything.
Oh, okay. You solitary, don't think you get an out. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I would take the death. Even if it was instant. If it was instant death or life in solitary confinement, instant death.
If you'd had to choose a type of solitary confinement, if they put you on an island, could you do that? Would you?
I could do that.
You'd live by you'd yourself.
Rather, if it was like you're going to have to live on
If it was like
island,
solitary in a 5-foot cell.
You
by myself?
No, that's different. No. All right, I understand.
Solitary on an island? I could do that.
Marco, what would you take?
Do I have the option of the solitary on an island?
No, that I mean, we'll answer that so after that, you answer
didn't
this.
Say that in there,
it doesn't. Yeah. Okay. No, but what do you think?
So solitary confinement as which would be the
you could
typical
read letters from your wife and your
typical
kids
construction and her 5x5 room sounds awful.
Yeah.
But solitary confinement means that I don't have any interaction with other prisoners.
Right.
But I do have interactions with the guards.
Yeah.
I do get fed.
Mm-hmm.
And will I get family visits in solitary confinement?
I don't think when you're in solitary you get anything.
I don't know.
I think you're in solitary.
Well, we're not sure about that.
Yeah.
Just like with the horse shit you pulled, Marco
so
Portland's
I
horse
shit.
I would
say because of my life situation, having three kids, I would take solitary confinement. Because at some point, maybe it does get overturned, or I could still get visits from my family. Mm-hmm. I still have phone privileges.
I like how you said if you get, you know, if you were convicted. He didn't say if you did it.
Right.
If you did it, yeah. And you could read books. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Watch TV.
Maybe.
You when you're dead, you can't do anything.
I don't think you
that.
Get any of that. I think solitary.
You can get books.
Solitary is the whole.
No.
That's right?
Not the same. No, it's not
oh,
the same.
Oh, it's not?
No. It's not the same.
So what's solitary?
It's you're just by, it's not
you get you get a cell to yourself, but you still get to interact with people.
No, but they'll bring you. I think you can still read. You can just get letters.
I think you're in the hole. I don't think you get shit.
No, the hole.
That's what makes people go crazy.
What the hole seems like.
I think
yeah,
part
sure.
of what makes people go crazy is the lack of human interaction.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No, but to your point,
human touch too is another one.
Yeah,
it's a big one. Sammy the Bull talked about it. Like he grabbed the nurse one time just because he was just like I
feel something.
Yeah,
he just needed to feel it. Yeah, got you. I think I'd choose solitary confinement. You know,
if it's a solitary confinement where you get to interact with people, that's not really solitary confinement. So I would take that.
But like you said, you listen. Yeah, you get 1 hour a day to do the yard. Mm-hmm. They're going to send you out in the yard 1 hour a day. If you ever watch what these dudes do in Supermax,
that's what solitary is.
Yes, all you got to do like the Supermax prison. That's
no,
what it's like.
Solitary is different, man.
No, it's not.
A Supermax prison. I'm not gonna... Supermax prison. You're.
He didn't say Supermax. He didn't say Supermax.
Yeah, but that's what he's talking about.
That's
he's
what they're. But that's what they are. They're in solitary confinement.
They're locked down.
They get taken out 1 hour a day. They get a shower every now and again. I think it's every 2 days they get a shower. Maybe every one day. One day they get a shower. Something once a day. Something like that. Like so it's that kind of shit. I think I'd give that a try.
I would just say I was
sometimes
sick every
I feel
day
like
to go
that anyway. So yeah, of course you want to see the nurse. You know what I mean? So we had a good food talk earlier on the moving on. We had a good food talk earlier about the Michelin star restaurant. Any new undertakings in your food game? You're stepping up with your Wawa pizza game, you said.
I've tried Wawa pizza
again.
The second time.
Second time
was better than the first.
Nice. You think the third time's a charm?
No. I can't see myself doing it again unless it's like, I think Wawa might make it later than any other pizza place in the area.
Yeah, they do. They stopped making it
at 4 a.m., I think.
So if I needed one at 2 or 3 a.m.
You were drunk or whatever?
Yeah.
Drunk pizza.
I would do that.
That's not you.
But
that would be an appropriate time.
Tell you what, the crust is good.
Okay.
they need to do a little bit, if they could change the sauce a little bit.
But is it good for what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's not great, it's good pizza.
Like I said, it's better. I've had worse pizza from just real pizza places. Right. So
if you had to go somewhere super late, had no word.
I'm not telling, hey, guys, big night for us. Getting Wawa pizza.
No.
Well, hey, who's better? Wawa or Wegmans? Remember you had that Wegmans pizza that was terrible?
I would get Wawa pizza over Wegmans.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Wawa's or Domino's?
I haven't had Domino's in a very long time.
That's
a
good question.
Told me they had Domino's not too long ago, and they said it was actually pretty good.
My
Pizza
buddy,
Hut? Shout out to take Pizza Hut over Wawa, yeah, for sure.
Okay. What about Papa John's?
It's got the dipping sauce.
Papa John's, yeah.
Yeah, you take it over Wawa. One dipping sauce away, that's all it is?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. Still, I've been lacking. I'm off a six-day fast, so I broke it this morning. I haven't shit myself yet. Hopefully, it doesn't happen. No, let's go. What's for dinner, bro? You ready to push the button on me? What's the dinner, Marco?
Steak.
Nice. Yo, real quick before we go to Timmy, pizza boxes, the snack shack. What was the thing you get? The
snack box.
What's going on, son?
Yeah, it was.
Nah?
Nah. The Cubans took it over. Come mierdas.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, I've heard many people say that. What? So, what's for dinner, Timmy?
I think Five Guys. I'm going to get a burger.
You know, that sounds good. I'd shit myself if I ate that right now, though.
Five Guys is a good burger.
It's a good burger, fam. It's a good burger.
I get the extra patty.
Yes. Yeah.
So you get a triple?
Three patties, yeah. That's nice. The way to do it. The good thing about that
what
is
what condiments
usually
you get on it?
Lettuce. Pickles.
With wrapped in lettuce, is it?
Sometimes.
Are you getting a bun or?
I would get like a burger.
Oh, you're getting okay.
Yeah.
Betraying the low carb. Okay, I'll see.
Iceberg lettuce.
I like it. I don't mind.
It's good on a burger. It's good on a burger.
It's good. No condiments. You know what I mean?
Ketchup, mayo. Actually, I get the ketchup packets on the side. I put a little dab of ketchup on whichever bite I want.
Oh, nice, nice. Like a real fucking maniac. Yeah. Like, I would love to be sitting.
You do your ketchup a la carte.
Son, your man. A little dip here and
here. No. I take the packet.
No. So you already said it, fam. Don't.
Yeah, I said
you said I could put it on any bite I want. You sound like a fucking idiot, son. You're like, you're sitting there like, and now you get some. You know what I mean? All of a sudden.
It sounds like you're putting a lot of stuff in.
Big Bang Theory. You're the guy from Big Bang Theory. I'm going to probably eat Spanish food, like, hopefully. You know. I don't know what's going to make me shit myself, so I'm going to be careful. Worst case scenario, it's going to be a bacon omelet, which definitely will, and I'll make it at home so I can crap my pants at home.
Hopefully you make it to the toilet in time.
I usually, I've never not, let me bake through. With that being said, we're out.
Peace.